Make sure you're subscribed to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Type The Word of the Lord Endures Forever in your podcast provider. Hit that subscribe button and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
You can walk away from baptism, and then repentance is turning around and returning to it, but you will never need a new application of water and name. Said in another way, that water with the word writes the name of God on you with a permanent indelible marker. You can't erase it.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Ephesians.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. In our previous podcast, we covered St. Paul's great prayer for his hearers. Do you remember that he said that he bowed the knee before the Father as he made his request, the Father from whom every family derives its name? Remember the play on the words father and family in Greek. His prayer was that according to the riches of the Father's great glory, that they might be strengthened with power through the Spirit in the inner man, the heart, the soul, the spirit, the inner life, so that Christ would truly dwell in their hearts by faith, the only Bible passage that talks about Christ dwelling in our hearts, and that they would come to comprehend with all God's holy people the vast, unimaginable love that's been shown them in Christ, that they would be wholly rooted and grounded in that love, which is so beyond everything we can even begin to imagine, and so be filled up with all the fullness of God. And finally, remember, he swung into doxology, which is where all prayer finally ends, giving glory and praise to the one who can do way, 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 way more than we could ever dream up, according to the mighty power at work in us, the very gift of the divine love by the Holy Spirit. And so, we get to join all God's people in their endless doxologies and praises, world without end. A reading from Ephesians, the 4th chapter, beginning at the 1st verse. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 6. Let us pray. Most gracious Father, we humbly beseech thee for thy holy Catholic Church. Fill it with all truth and all peace. Where it is corrupt, purify it. Where anything is amiss, reform it. Where it is right, strengthen and confirm it. Where it is in want, provide for it. Where it is divided and rent asunder, heal the breaches thereof, O thou Holy One of Israel, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Ready to dig into God's Word today? Let's get to it. Verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. He turns again to the fact that he's been locked up at the moment, imprisoned for the gospel he's been sharing, which means he's a prisoner for the Lord. He's suffering on behalf of Jesus, just as Jesus had told him he would. See Acts 9, verse 16. Normally, being locked up would be a source of shame in society, but being locked up for preaching Jesus, to Paul, it's manifestly something which he relishes and glories in. It's the same kind of attitude you saw in Saints Peter and John. Then they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name, that is, the name of Jesus, Acts 5, verse 41. Having reminded them of his imprisonment, St. Paul proceeds to urge them to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. That is, to walk in the way of Christ, to learn to live in this world as a son or daughter of God. Said another way, this is St. Paul's way of saying, remember who's become your father, all right? You're his children. Live in such a way that folks could cry out, oh, that old so-and-so, he or she's a chip off the old block, sure enough. Walk in a manner worthy means to let the family resemblance shine. And he's about to describe what that means. Verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. There's the first shocker Jesus reveals about God, his Father. He's humble. I mean, think about it. He's the only one who has the right to pride in heirs, and he reveals himself through his Son as actually being humble. St. Paul, when he writes to the Philippians, celebrates that central fact of his Lord in a beautiful hymn in chapter 2, verse 5 and following. He humbled himself is the very hallmark of the way he chose to save us. And so if he's in the process of transforming us into children of his Father, then the path of humility is the way we will have to walk. It's an amazing turnabout of affairs that when he lifts us up to the loftiness of being God's kids, that lands us squarely in being humble. And not just humble, but also gentle. Can't help but think of Jesus describing himself in Matthew 11:28. For I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Gentle and patient, fulfilling that word from Isaiah, a bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. Isaiah 42, verse 3. Indeed, Jesus does bear with us in love, and so he calls for us to walk this way, in the way we treat each other in his body, not being proud, not being harsh, not losing our tempers with each other, but to enter into the way of the Blessed Trinity and walk in humility, gentleness, patience, in short, to live in love. Verse 3, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So the unity of the Spirit is not at all something we can create. We can no more create the true unity of the church than we can create the world. It's a gift. But it's a gift that St. Paul wants us to value and treasure and guard. The unity of the Spirit, as we're about to hear, is a unity that joins individuals together into the one body of Christ so that they live together in the peace the Spirit brings, the peace that Jesus won for us. Here's St. John Chrysostom's exhortation to his hearers in 4th century Antioch. In the human body, there is a spirit which holds all together, though in different members. So it is also here. For to this end was the Spirit given, that he might unite those who are separated by race and by different manners. For old and young, rich and poor, child and youth, man and woman, and every soul become in a manner one, and more entirely so than if there were one body. This is the great joy of the family of God we call the church. We're bound together by one Spirit in faith to Jesus, and we must guard the bond that binds us as one. Verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. There are not multiple bodies of Christ. There's only the one body that is his, and to which you have been joined by the one Spirit to the gift of faith in the one hope that belongs to your call. You've been summoned through that hope to be an heir of the kingdom of God. And notice how church, spirit, gospel run together here. Where the Spirit is at work through the preaching of the one hope of our calling to be children of the Heavenly Father, there is always the one church, the one body of Christ. And speaking of Christ, verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Lord. And that would be your Lord Jesus. Though he is both God and man, he is not two, but he is one Lord and Savior. And so also the faith is one. It's above all his faith in his Father, which he gives us to share through the power of his words. And note this, there's only one baptism. The church has always understood that to run in two directions. First, that baptism is unrepeatable. The person who has been baptized in the name of the Holy Trinity is baptized forever. No need to ever receive that washing again. Its power endures into eternity. You can walk away from baptism, and then repentance is turning around and returning to it. But you will never need a new application of water and name. Said in another way, that water with the word writes the name of God on you with a permanent indelible marker. You can't erase it. And that means also that folks who disparage water baptism, in contrast to spirit baptism, are running afoul here of St. Paul's teaching. There is one baptism, not two. And to be baptized with water in the triune name is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Remember how St. Peter on the day of Pentecost told the crowds to repent and be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2, verse 38 and following. Verse 6, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. The one Lord, with his one faith, given you to share in his baptism, is the one who unites you to the one God and Father of all. Did you notice how the Blessed Trinity read through this section? The Spirit who, through the gospel, brings you to the Son, the one Lord, who in baptism gives you a share in his own life and brings you finally to his Father. And have you ever noticed how he picks up in the middle? You see, the Father sends the Son, who then sends the Spirit, who grabs hold of you and brings you to the Son, that the Son might present you, clothed in his very own sonship, to the Father. This is the great fulfillment of the Son's mission. He comes forth from the Father a single Son, but he returns to the Father at the head of his great family. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me, echoes of Isaiah 8, verse 18. And one other thing to notice here, the entire directionality of salvation is then in the Spirit through the Son toward the Father. So the church, in her prayers, overwhelmingly turns to the Father, confident of his hearing of us as beloved children through what Christ has done for us. That is where we're going to call a halt for today, people loved by God. Up next, St. Paul will begin unpacking some of the very graces that Christ has accomplished for us by his descent from heaven into the depths and then his ascent to the heights. He took a host of captives and acquired gifts for us men, as Psalm 68:18 puts it. Jesus is the one who both knows the depths and the heights, and he has ascended far above all the heavens to fill all things. And he's the one who gave to the world the gifts of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. No, that doesn't mean he's still sending apostles. The apostles and prophets and even the evangelists, in the sense of the writers of the Gospels, they were gifts for one generation, but for all subsequent generations were they given. He still sends forth pastors and teachers to impart to his people the gifts he gave through those first three so long ago. And through their words, which are God's own word, the word that endures forever, people still are joined to the Blessed Trinity and filled with his own divine life. Till next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.